The following is a paid program on AM 1220 KLBB. The views expressed do not necessarily represent the views of the station owner or management or Endurance Broadcasting, LLC.
Well, hold your papers up high. Forget all your worries. We're troubled poets can't die. They're the meat of the story.
Good morning and welcome to Voices in the Valley, where we celebrate the creative spirit and nurture the art of storytelling. My name's Steph, and usually Dee is my co-host, but she's off in Florida enjoying the sun and waves, and so I'm delighted to have Jeff Brandt from Storyboard Films here today, an award-winning documentary filmmaking company, I might add. Jeff, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. I mean, anytime you guys have music, give me a call. I'll be down for the music.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because you actually have musical background and you're a musician, whereas I'm just a groupie. I just like music. I don't know anything about it. And if I am remembering correctly, you also have had an award-winning documentary you made called Not Done Loving. Is that right?
Yep. That is correct.
And you composed the score for that.
I did.
So tell me about that.
It's not as impressive as it sounds. I mean, I'm not as good as these guys. Like, I've always played music as a way to write music, and I've never sort of self-taught. So all the stuff I write is stuff I make up. And a couple of years ago, I got really into learning how to finger pick. And
oh,
the story
cool.
was sort of about the valley, and it was kind of a touchy piece. And I had probably a collection of, 5 to 8 different finger picking things I was doing at the time, and they seemed to kind of fit. So I kind of lucked out.
That's
awesome.
People
liked it, but it was kind of lucky.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. And I am going to identify they because I'm leaving everyone in suspense who the band is that we're actually interviewing today. We are really privileged to have Blue Hazard here. And in a moment, I'm going to introduce them. We are fortunate that all 5 musicians from the band are here, which is going to be a little chaotic for radio listeners out there when we get to the interview because you're not going to have any idea who's talking. But just remember my voice. Remember Jeff's voice. Jeff, you need to say something here.
This is my voice.
And then soon enough, we'll be introducing Blue Hazard. But before we do that, I want to ask you one more question, Jeff, which is I also have heard that you are going to be producing a short film, and I'm very interested to find out more about that.
Yeah, so it is going to be, a short 10 to 12 minute film. Like you said, the company a couple of years ago had a short documentary that was in the Minneapolis-St. Paul Film Fest. And we thought it would be a great challenge to try to get in there again with an original piece of fiction or narrative. So after trying to write some original stuff, I actually went down the adaptation route and started reading short stories and couldn't quite find one. And then I actually adapted a story that I used to tell all the time about one of my friends growing up. So it's an adaptation of sort of a folklore story from where I grew up in New Jersey. And it's kind of like the feel of it is Meet the Parents sort of meets American Beauty. It's kind of
Wow. That's a good combination.
Weird combination.
Yeah.
But that's the best I can do to describe it.
And who knows, maybe it will even be picked up by MTV, just like a song that our band Blue Hazard had called Remembrance. If you're hearing the music right now in the background, that is the lead into the song Remembrance. This is off of one of their albums, multiple albums.
Forever, he sees his precious gold. In letters, he wrote a promise note, and he tells her, I love you, this will never end, but now the fallout.
This is going to be your first question, who wants to take it? And then I'm going to introduce you guys, which album is Remembrance off of?
It's on This World of Mine.
This World of Mine. All right. Well, let's meet the voice behind the answer to that last question. So I'm going to start with you there. Here it is, the members of Blue Hazard.
My name is Luke Gruber, and I play mandolin and sing as well.
My name is Uriah Nibby, and I play the banjo.
I love your last name. Uriah Nibby. I want to be Uriah Nibby. That's awesome. Mine's really boring. I'm not even going to say. We'll just keep it to Steph.
I'm Dale Gruber, and I play the fiddle.
I'm Hannah Johnson, and I play the guitar, and I probably have the second most boring name here. So.
Okay, I named my daughter Hannah, and that's always been her pet peeve, so I'm not going to let her listen to this interview, because she'll be like, see, Mom, see, I told you.
And I'm Clara, and I play the big old bass.
The big old bass, and it is bigger than you. Yes. Well, it's great to have all of you guys here. I have to say, I am so interested in knowing how. I went onto your website, bluehazardband.com, and I read the story about how when two young boys were, 9 years old or something like that, their dad gave them instruments, and from there you ended up with a song on MTV. So how in the world does that work? Because I really want to know.
My dad, we grew up, Hannah, Luke, and I grew up, and my dad played old country music. So I don't know why, but one day he came home with a fiddle and a mandolin and told Luke and I to pick. And then years went by and we had a song on MTV.
Okay, I am not letting you get away with that. That is not a satisfactory answer. Okay, somebody else step forward because that did not... Okay, Hannah.
All right. Well, we've been playing across the Midwest for years. I mean, when we tell people we've been playing together probably, over 15 years, they're like, wow, have you been alive that long? which we have. But we just have played festivals. And then we just kind of grew, and then we recorded more CDs, and our producer actually hooked us up with a company that really pushed our music to different radio stations and TV spots, and MTV really resonated with our song Remembrance. And so it was really exciting to find out that got picked up. I think we made like a whopping 8 cents. But it was still exciting and fun that they decided to highlight our music.
So did they just happen to hear it somewhere?
Actually, the producer of ours, she's a marketing person or someone, but she actually had connections with them and kind of gave them our music. And they had our whole CD, and Remembrance is the one that stuck with them. So,
and it's been played on two different MTV shows. Is that right?
Yep. Okay. Friend Zone and which riveting television. But Friend Zone, and I'm blanking on the second one.
The real world.
Yeah. So pretty fun.
Yeah. It sounds really, does anybody watch Friend Zone? I don't think anybody. in the band, sorry. And so when we got like the first text that somebody had watched or heard the song, we were kind of just like, that's hilarious that show. But
Were you guys surprised? Because when I think MTV, bluegrass doesn't come to top of mind, but I probably haven't watched it.
I mean, we were very surprised. And part of it, we sell it. It's not as glamorous as what it's, when you think MTV, you think music video. I mean, we're background music on a about a 30-second clip. I'm sorry,
Tune in, watch all 9 seasons or whatever for that, because I think it's the highlight of the show, really.
And I will say, When She Loves Him is when we play. So, I mean, there's something about that brings our music brings people together.
Matchmakers. She loved
him. I love that. And I'm going to flip to my notes a moment because the other thing I saw on your website, bluehazardband.com, is that your goal is to enrich people's lives with unconventional, original, and traditional bluegrass music. And I think that's really cool. What does that mean to enrich people's lives to you?
Oh, they're pointing to you.
Well,
wow, you got the headiest question.
And I love how they're just like, we're not taking it. It's your turn.
Funny, I joined the band when I was probably like 12 years old. And I remember when I'd play on stage and I'd just look at the floor. But I didn't tell any of my friends until probably like senior year, junior year of high school that I played in a bluegrass band because it wasn't really cool. And it's... But now, I don't know, there's kind of a new scene that's blooming among young people. It's a different kind of scene in Minnesota, I think, than compared to the coasts.
So tell me about your fourth album. It's an album of original music. All took turns writing songs, or there's a songwriter here, or?
Yeah, well, it's 10 songs, and 9 of them we have written. So Clara wrote one. We all wrote a few. And then the 10th song is actually our Uncle Pete. Pete Gruber up in Melrose. He wrote this song in like the 70s, I think. And we just loved it. So we found it on a vinyl record and we wanted to add it to the song, to the album. But I think this album really is maybe the every album you progress, every album you make, every piece of art you make, you're expressing yourself maybe in a different way or clearer. And this album, I think... is really our kind of brand of like, this is really who we are. It's not really who our parents kind of raised us to be. It's not really who, we're not adventuring too far. We're just being who we, the collective, create naturally.
What do you think the change is? Because that sounds like a pretty big shift, right? So what do you think is different or what's changed?
I think a big part of it was when we did our last record, This World of Mine, it was kind of us taking a step. You know, the records before that, we were just kids when we did it. But This World of Mine really was a step in kind of making our own sound. And so I think as the dust settled from that record, and we kind of realized, oh, certain doors are unlocked. You can kind of, you know, we're not just a traditional bluegrass band. Now with this current record, we were just like, okay, let's have less of this box of like, okay, we have to be this genre. And let's just take every song as it comes and try to express it musically the way that that song kind of deserves, I guess. And so that kind of led us to do all sorts of things, you know, that we really weren't limited by any genre.
That's very cool. Yeah. How do you guys manage the, if you're all writing songs, that sounds chaotic. Like, so if someone like, you know, some people might like some songs, some people might not like songs. Like, how do you guys manage the democracy of the songwriting and like when something is a go or it's not?
Yeah, I think, because I think that is a tough thing. And when we first made this record, we didn't want to have like, hey, we'll just divide up and everyone can have their songs on here. We honestly said, you know, we're going to, everyone bring all the songs you've written to the table and we're going to put it through the gauntlet, which is us five, and we want the best songs to do it. If all the songs would have came through Uriah, we would have picked them. But ironically, it kind of shifted and there were needs that I think all of us are specialists or do things better than each other in certain areas of songwriting and help each other. Even before you jump in, like, we got the end of the record and we had 8 to 9 songs and we're like, we don't really have a slow ballady type song. We know we need this in the record. And Hannah literally a day later comes up and is like, hey, I wrote this. I think this would be good. And it's one of, I think, our favorites on it. It's the last song on the record. And a lot of people have heard snippets of it before it gets released, have kind of agreed. So
that's awesome. So there's no imminent need for a spinoff project? Because everyone's kind of...
not really. I mean, some of our favorite bands, we grew up loving Nickel Creek. Even the Beatles is a great example. Multiple writers, multiple vocalists, and they can accomplish so much because they can walk in so many directions, but still, anytime you hear a Beatles song, you know it's the Beatles. You know, whether Lennon wrote it, McCartney wrote it, it didn't matter. And so with Blue Hazard, I think that's kind of the goal, too, that... we each bring a different voicing in our songwriting. But after it goes through all five, once Uriah plays a banjo part and Hannah puts down a vocal, and you know, all of a sudden it starts like, okay, that's a Blue Hazard song, but it's pressing a different direction than normal, but it's still within the family.
That's very cool. That's like what you said is really important. The fact that you have five different perspectives and five different personalities, and if you can tap into each of those, it's just such a broader spectrum of things you can do.
For sure.
So, Sideshow, that's the name of your fourth album. When is it coming out?
That is a good question. you know, we are, right now we're finalizing everything. It still has to go to print, but we're hoping, I think we're shooting for May or June at the absolute latest. So we're trying to get out there. We're going to be playing a CD release concert and really promoting it as much as we can. So we're really excited.
Will you tell us when the CD release concert is so we can go?
Yes.
And then we can let everybody else know to go?
Love that.
All right, we'll do that. And well, absolutely. Well, we're going to have to end soon here with our first segment of the show. But fortunately, we get to have you continue into the second half of our show with student host Will and play some of your music. But I always get a little jealous that Will gets all the music playing during his segment of the show. So would you appease me and my Green Monster jealousy and play your favorite song from your new album? Or a song from your new album? Yes. Because they're all wonderful. There is no favorite. That would be wonderful. Thank you.
1, 2, 3. I've been afraid to stay the same, that I'll never change, just waste time. I seem to think of trees that never grow, of flowers in the snow, sinking stones. Don't let your dream die quickly, you're too young for that. It's an old timeless melody, you can't bring it back. It's your only part left of me.
Next up, after After our mid-program highlight, student host Will joins us to continue the music and the discussion with Blue Hazard. But in the meantime, it is the grand finale of Don't Whine Over Lost Robot, the season end to a four-episode series by 10 through 14-year-old students here in the Valley for the podcast series Shush.
Songs you used to sing for the ring. Don't let your dream die quickly. You're too young for that. It's an old time this melody, but you can bring it back to your only part left of me. It's the only part that you have, you'll ever have, you'll ever need.
Life was simpler back in the day. The pace was slower, and the food more genuine somehow. It's still that way at Wayback Burgers. We use only fresh, authentic ingredients. Our delicious, juicy burgers are made to order and cooked to perfection. And our thick, creamy milkshakes are hand-dipped with real ice cream, the old-fashioned way. With Wayback's relaxing atmosphere and great food, things are as they were, only better. Taste freshness, America. Wayback Burgers.
Pro-life across America, the Billboard people.
My dad says I'm his pride and joy.
My mommy says I was her big surprise.
My mom says I'm her best helper.
I'm adopted. My dad says I was a gift.
That's right, kids. Each of you are a miracle and a blessing from God. Hello, my name is Angie. I work with Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people. If you know someone who is pregnant and in need of confidential counseling, including alternatives to abortion or post-abortion assistance, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773 or check us out online at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. Please help support our life-saving outreach.
A baby child is being 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
We've been family-owned since 1922, and we still believe that it all starts with you.
Find your bonus tag at Stillwater Motors. Hurry in and save up to $11,000 on new 2017 Chevy 1500 Silverado Crew Cabs. Find new roads with your next vehicle from Stillwater Motors. Redunds family owned since 1922. Call 651-HEY-CHEV or go to stillwatermotors.com.
Stillwater Motors, good people to know.
Hello there. As you probably know, the last time you listened in, we found out Frank Foreman's one true love, Ruby, has undermined him, teaming up with Alexander Axton, his competitor, to destroy human-robot hybrids everywhere. Thanks to Frank's reading Ruby's K-mail behind her back, we know that Ruby and Alexander have hidden Roman in Alexander's closet until they can take Roman out of the country in order to dip him in acid. As Roman contains the code to save the entire hybrid world from a deadly virus, all human-robot hybrids, including Hobot, could die. Fortunately for us, Frank flew in with his helicopter and whisked us out of an electromagnetic storm. Now it's just a matter of Samantha and her team, which includes me, Peter, and Hoba, finding Roman before Ruby and Alexander whisk him away into an uncomfortable fate. A fate worse than death. A fate that brings death. The terrifying dip in acid.
Samantha, the crew, we're here.
What the heck? Frank, you've landed us at Alexander Axton's mansion. Won't he hear us coming?
At this time of night, he's watching Netflix with his headphones on way loud. He won't hear a thing.
You guys go in. I'll go find the getaway car.
Pathetic chicken.
Don't look at me like that. If Alexander and Ruby head to the airport with Roman, we'll need a car to chase them.
It's interesting.
Hobot, what's wrong?
First, I am sick. Second, the fate of the world rests in our hands. And third, Rose Department Store 20% coupon sale has ended.
Let's get to the mansion and find that closet.
This place is gigantic.
No kidding.
I bet you could fit a billion bags of kitty litter in here.
Careful not to touch the suits of armor in the hallway.
Trout, shush!
Oops.
How are we supposed to find the right closet in this huge place?
Pulling up virtual map. Look in bedroom first.
Alex, we really should get to the airport.
Oh no, it's Ruby!
Take elevator up, top floor!
Alex, come on, the plane is waiting for us. I'll go get Roman.
Quick, into the elevator before Ruby comes.
There's the closet, come on!
This closet's bigger than my house. Look, there's Roman!
Powering up. Hello, Sam, Frank, and Hobot.
And Trowel. We always forget the cats who think they're dogs. Figures.
We've got him, finally!
Almost, but not quite. Hand over the hybrid.
Ruby!
Ruby, you louse!
She said hand over the hybrid. I'd do it if I were you. I'm not afraid to use my weapon.
Alexander, it's about time.
What? That movie's been on the queue for ages. I had to finish it.
Alexander, how could you?
Hello, Samantha. I'm not afraid to use my taser. So hand over that hybrid. Now.
A taser?
Yes. Enough power to, let's say, charge a hybrid for 30 years. Just so you know, I'm planning to use it on my remodel.
Some execution? Isn't that a little, you know, extreme? Hey, let Roman go, you psycho!
Cat fight!
Chance of survival if rebellious behavior continues, 3%. Chance of survival with compliance, 3.78%.
Mine!
Ow! Mine!
Double ow!
No, mine! Ha! I've got him!
Ruby, the pretty lady has me.
Well done, Ruby, my love.
You're a scoundrel!
Thank you for being so very kind. Ruby, let's go. We've got better things to do than hang around with these superhero wannabes.
Yes, let's.
Come on, let's go. We'll take the stairs.
Maybe it was a good thing Peter looked out for that getaway car.
They're driving away! Quick, into the car!
You know what happened to Jamie Lane? Peter, good job getting the car, but I'm driving. I've got experience.
Oh, okay.
Wow, a human driver? Whoever thought of that? So innovative. Wait, don't grab me. I'll stay here.
They've got a head start. We can catch them if we take this shortcut.
Slow down! That's not a shortcut. It's an alleyway. Stop swerving!
You're supposed to invent hybrids that can drive cars, and you can't even safely drive one yourself?
We almost hit a building!
We're closing it!
Seriously? Again?
I'll put her on my Bluetooth. Samantha, turn off the volume. Ruby, you yellow-livered traitor.
Frank, darling, you really must stop chasing us. Alex, speed up. They're catching us.
Till then, they won't steal my potential fortune.
Look, there's the airport. Quick.
The Axton Industries tarmac. And my own very own private jet.
Rubes, do you have a point? I'm trying to drive here.
They've turned off. They're closing the gate to Alexander's private terminal. Quick!
Don't worry. We'll catch them. Computer, activate turbo boosters.
We just destroyed a stoplight!
Yes, but we're gonna crash through the gate.
I think we just passed a stoplight. I can't even hear myself bang.
Look, Ruby, now they're climbing up the steps of the plane.
Hurry, get into the airplane. Run. Surely you can go faster than that.
Did you just call me Shirley?
Downloading movie. Airplane.
Hobot's malfunctioning is getting worse. Peter, stay here with Hobot and keep him safe, please.
But
I don't want him in the line of danger.
Okay.
Trowel, come on.
You're okay with me being in line of danger?
Come on, Trowel.
Really, I don't know whether to be flattered by your need or hurt by your indifference to my safety.
They've closed the plane door. Quick, through the door in the tail before the plane takes off.
Alexander, you're a fool.
What did you say?
We almost got caught.
You know what? Maybe I won't give you that $50.
Shh, do you hear something?
It's just Roman from his hiding place.
Hurry up and get in the air.
I feel airsick.
I heard a cat.
I'm a dog.
Drow, be quiet.
Wait, they've gotten on the plane. Alex, deal with them.
Then who would drive the plane?
Must I do everything myself? Fine, just make sure they don't go into the bathroom.
I think we should go into the restroom. Quick, open it up.
But Sam, we can't all fit.
Wait, look, the bathroom has a shower. Let me open the curtain.
It's Roman. Roman, power up.
Powering up. Active. Hello, Dr. Hamill. What do you need today?
Roman, it's Samantha. Dr. Hammer asked me to get the code to stop the virus from you.
Permission denied.
There must be a password.
54321, 54321 equals 54321.
What if the smartest man in the world picked 123? Wouldn't be surprised.
I know.
3.14159265358 9.
Access accepted. The virus code is pi.
Yummy.
Not food. The number pi. Would you like me to enter the number pi?
Yes! Yeah!
No!
Ruby, you can't come in here!
Entering pi.
Seriously? The phone again? Peter, what do you want? Be quick, I'm wrestling Ruby here!
Who wants save?
Would anyone like chips?
No!
My humor percentage is stable.
Hobot, you're back!
The virus is gone, my career is safe!
And the world!
Oh yeah, that too.
No, my plans are ruined!
Still hung up on our breakup, Rubes?
You brought it on yourself, Frank. You know how much I hate hybrids.
But Ruby, I stopped producing medical hybrids for you.
It's too late. The damage was done. My heart surgeon father died from a broken heart. I don't want to see another human-robot hybrid again, even if they're not programmed heart surgeon. They are evil.
You're pure evil.
I'm not evil. Human doctors saved lives. Human-robot hybrids are more efficient, more exact, almost always right, but they can't give you a hug. They can't show emotion and compassion and care. All the things that matter in life, and you, Frank, all you care about is your robot.
Please, they're hybrids.
Shut up about your stupid line of stupid robots.
Ruby, what are you doing?
I'm grabbing my parachute. Sorry, Alex, but I've got better things to do than hang out in jail. Hasta la vista, suckers!
Does that mean the wedding is definitely off?
Did she just actually, like, jump out of the plane?
Too bad the parachute opened.
Sensing undocumented plane flight. Calling 911. Calling 911.
Yes! Thanks, Roman. Let's take over the plane from Alex. Frank, do you know how to fly?
Nope, only helicopters.
Roman?
Of course. There is nothing that we human-robot hybrids cannot do, except emote. We cannot emote. We cannot emote.
It's okay, Roman. We do enough of that for all of us. Alexander, we're taking over.
Not as long as I have my taser, you're not.
Good job, Trow. Way to knock the taser out of Alexander's hand. Move out of the seat, Alexander. Roman's turning this plane around.
What? No, I've worked too long, too hard to get my plans foiled. Okay, Samantha, put that taser down.
You'll be under arrest as soon as we land.
Nobody will believe you. I'm Alexander Axton, world-famous businessman.
And I'm Frank Foreman, soon to hire Dr. Harley Hammer to build me the first line of emoting human-robot hybrids.
And so, since Alexander Axton really was one of the most famous business people in the world, he was only put under house arrest, despite his goal to dip Roman in acid in order to destroy the code that could cure the hybrid virus. His dream of forcing people to use his new and only line of hybrids, with no market or competition consumer's choice, was foiled by my mistress, Samantha Shovel, Private Eye. Peter, of course, was worried we were in trouble, but the police assured him it was quite the opposite. We had just saved the world. Sadly, though, nobody has yet to determine where Ruby is. Perhaps next season we'll give you some more answers.
Samantha, would you like more coffee?
Yes, please, Hobot. Trow, would you like another pet, my dog, Barking Kitty?
But for now, all is right with the world.
Don't Whine Over Missing Robots, Season 1 of Shush, was written and performed by students ages 10 to 14 from the St. Croix Valley. Our writing and acting team included...
Gigi as Trowel.
Finn as Alexander.
Lily as Samantha Shovel. Parker as Peter Pitchfork.
Summer Day as Hobot and Jamie Link. And Mitch as Roboride.
Romy as Ruby Ratchet.
Sam as Dr. Holy Hammer and Roman.
Liam as Frank.
Thanks to the St. Croix Jazz Orchestra for sharing their music with us. This entire endeavor was made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, coordinated by ArtReach St. Croix for the NEA Big Read, a program of the National Endowment for the Arts in partnership with Arts Midwest. Don't Whine Over Missing Robots is a production of the Shire Literary Center under its nonprofit Parent Story Arc. For more information on the Shire's audio drama team experience, including details about our student-produced sci-fi podcast series Hush, contact executive producer Stephanie Atkins at steph@theshireonline.com.
Anyone want chips?
Thanks for listening to Voices in the Valley. To hear episodes 1-3 of Shush, Don't Whine Over Missing Robots, and to continue the conversation with Blue Hazard, as student host Will hears them play and finds out more about their music, go on to voicesinthevalley.us, that's voicesinthevalley.us, or subscribe to our Voices in the Valley podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play Music. Next week on Voices in the Valley, episode 8 of Hush. The friends use a party to try to sneak out under Deborah's watchful eye.